Well, here we are. I'm hoping that in the next week or two, we're going to be back at church. I'm ready. I know a lot of you are. It'll give me a few days to see how some of the restaurants open into some capacity. We'll see where this thing goes, and I want to watch it closely. But I'm ready to have church as quick as we can, and I want to see all of you again. I've missed all of you. Just being there. I know. Even if we have to wear if you choose to wear mask and gloves, which go ahead. At least to see you. I can look at your eyes. And I just be glad to get going again. I think the devil has used this way too far. And he's trying to keep us from assembling together and enjoying not only the Lord, but each other's company. And it's been a very hard struggle doing a lot of these messages like this. We've had to redo several. We've had all kinds of problems happen with this. And I'm just ready to go back up, get with you. It's worth the drive, and I want to see you. And I thank you that you've continued to support us. You supported us just spiritually and your prayers and your financial support and just your human support, just being friends, just being more than just a church member. You've been so good. And so I pray we're all back in church within 2 weeks. Hopefully, I'm going to try next Sunday, but we'll take a good look at it and give you word during the week what we're going to be able to do. I want to just bring you back to the basics. And it's the basics that make or break us. It's like in your car so many times. How many times do we change lanes and we forget to put the blinker on? We're just so used to it. It's like we just assume it's going to happen. We don't go through the mental checklist of I need to hit the little deal here and put the blinker on. And we do things like that. We go around someone and then we don't put it back on to go back. And we're really supposed to do that. And we forget to look at gas gauges and other gauges and it's like, why do we do that? Well, we know we need to because we're so used to it, and we violate the basics. Guess what? Other things really happen bad. That's not good. You know, the engine things go wrong, and you run out of fuel. And the same thing in our spiritual walk. You know, we can spout doctrine and quote scriptures, but if we forget what it's all about, we're in trouble. We forget the basics. I mean, we can have a big doctrinal dialogue here and plunge way into Greek and Hebrew studies. But like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, without love, it's nothing. We're just beating on a drum, empty drum, just making noise. Because if love is not behind everything we do, then we've missed it. So that's what we're going to do today and just share it a little bit. Let me read these passages and just title this, you know, love is what it's all about. You know, and I know a lot of us guys, I, Lord starts putting my heart about love, and I'm thinking, oh, love, okay. And it's like, yeah, love, yes, you need a lot of it, son, and all of us do. And there's been a whole lot of maybe not so loving stuff out there with all this, and that's an understatement. And it's like, we've got to get back to basics. If we don't have love, what's it all for? So we're going to talk about that. Love's what it's all about, and I just want to begin this by saying in this first point here that don't forget, God truly loves you. We mouth those words, but please just take a moment and maybe a really deep breath, let it out slowly, and then say to yourself, you know, God truly loves me. I wouldn't even be here if he didn't. Wouldn't make it. Wouldn't have a chance if God didn't love me. Let me just read these passages out of 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him, through Jesus. And it says, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Don't forget that. Through all this stuff, and the media stuff, and the political stuff, and the stuff on top of stuff, and all the negative that we hear, friends, we're in the love business. We're here because God so loved us, He became one of us. He sent His only Son, which is God in the flesh, and called Himself Jesus. It's one and the same. They're both the same, just God in a different form. It's so much, God reveals Himself in different ways. God the Son, you know, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And people have asked me many, many times that, you know, I don't get that. Are they all separate? It's God doing things in separate functions. It's the same God. It's the water and ice steam deal, you know. Water is water, but you freeze it, it's ice. And you boil it, it's steam. But it's still water. Still the same substance, just in a different form. And that's how God the Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit work. And that's how He works in our lives. And so He came in the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what He came to do? He said, you know, based on your denominational experience, what church you go to, He came to save us. A lot of people don't even know what that means anymore. Save us. What do you mean save us? He came to save us. We were separated from Him because we're born in sin. Don't have a chance. And God loves us. Why? We're created in His image. We have so much of Him in us, even with it as tainted as it is. We have so much of God in us. We can reason. We can think. We make judgments sometimes very harshly, but we make them all the characteristics of God. And we decide things, and we determine paths, and He has a will for us, but we pick our own path so many times. And we play God so many times because God is in us and we distort it. But nonetheless, we're created in His image. We're part of Him. He's part of us. We have a living soul and never die. The body will, but that soul will not. And depending on your decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, or your rejection of Him, it'll determine your eternal destiny and where your soul goes. And then one day your body will be reconnected. How that works? Different message. But that's not the message today. The message is He came to be here with us because He loves us. And how much does He love us? I just jotted down some notes to give you and contemplate on these. Think about it. How much does God love you? Well, He sacrificed His Son for you. How about that? That's love. You say, would you sacrifice a child? No. Would you want to give up your child? No. No, I can answer that very, no. You know, no. But God did. Can I really grasp all that? No. What parent would want to sacrifice a child? But He did. And He takes our sins, and He removes them as far from us as the east is from the west, and it says He cast them in the depths of the sea. You need to grasp that. Everything. All of them, no exceptions. When you ask Jesus in your heart and you confess, repent of your sins, He cast them away. How far is the east is from the west? Huh? Keeps going and going and going and going. And that's what He said. And He says, I don't remember them anymore. So it would be real good if you would accept God's love and not remember them yourself. Quit beating yourself up over them, because God's already forgotten them. When you confess them, they're gone. Another thing, that how much does He love us? He loves us enough to live in us through His Spirit and to make our bodies His temple. Can I ask you something? You just look around you at some people you go to church with, maybe people in your own family, and say, would I want to live in your body? Would I really want to reside in you and the things you do and the habits you have and the weird stuff you think and say when nobody's looking? And the answer to that is no. No, don't think so. I have enough trouble living with myself, don't you? But God comes when we ask Jesus in our heart, and He makes our body His temple, and He lives in us. That means He's in us with all of the weird stuff we do and think. That's some kind of God, and I'll tell you this, that's some kind of love. And we need to think that over. He's willing to do all that because He loves us. And not only that, but He gives us stewardship over this world. Have you ever thought about it? He made this world, and He told Adam and Eve, okay, take care of it. So He creates a world, and He says, I'm going to give you stewardship. I love you that much. I'm going to see what my kids do with it. Have a lot of his kids done a rotten job? Yeah. And I can't be responsible for the whole world, but you know what I am responsible for? My piece of it. Everywhere I go, I'm responsible. I'm responsible not to throw trash out on the road. I'm responsible to take care of things, other people's stuff. And I'm responsible to remember, as I look at another person, maybe they're not acting the way they should, that God loves me when I don't act the way I should. He's living inside of me, putting up with all my junk. So I guess I can have some tolerance towards others. But he gives us stewardship, and our stewardship extends to our children, our extended families. It goes to everything, spiritual, physical, emotional, financial. We're stewards. He owns everything. He owns us, but we're stewards. And we have a responsibility wherever we go, our little piece of the world, wherever it takes us, wherever we are, we're stewards. He loves us enough to trust us with this. It scares me to death sometimes. How about you? And then I'll tell you something else. God loves us so much that he just will not give up on us. He never quits. He never says, all right, that's it, kid. I've had enough of you. You know, you're the lousiest son or lousiest daughter I've ever had, and you're out. Leave. Leave my kingdom. You're gone. He just won't do it. We hurt him. We grieve him. We disobey him. And we don't give him credit. We take him for granted. We take his church for granted. We take his people for granted. And what does he do? He keeps putting up with us. Reflect on it. He loves us that much. Now let's take this second point here. God truly loves us, but now, in the presence of Jesus, he loves us even. He continues this thing. And Jesus in John 15, he said, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Now remain in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So what is he saying? I've loved you even as the Father's loved me. Same thing. Same thing. So how much does Jesus love us? He loved us so much that he feels what we feel. And he experiences what we experience because he came here to this earth in a human body. That means that all the stresses and the disappointments, the ups and the downs, the let-ups and the let-downs, all the betrayals and all the stuff all in between, Jesus experienced. He knows what it's like to be abandoned. He knows what it's like to be hurt. He knows what it's like to be grieved, to be grieving, to grieve. That little short, that little tiny verse over Lazarus when it says Jesus wept, to me is one of the most touching things in the New Testament. One of them. Jesus wept. He felt it. He felt their unbelief. It hurt him that they didn't believe that he could do what he said he'd do. But you know, he just felt their pain, just like he feels your pain right now, whatever you're feeling. And if you're happy, he feels your joy. He's rejoiced. That's why he said, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. He's with us, friends. He loves us that much, and he suffered everything so that when we go through it, we can call out to him, and he can embrace us with his love and say, I've been there. I know, and I'm with you always. Even what did he say? To the end of the age. You can count on him. He went through everything we'll ever experience because he loves us, and he suffered and died for us. Who will do that? Do you know anybody who'll die for you? Do you know anybody right now that would really die for you? And I don't mean for your good things. I mean, there you are, and you don't even care about them, and they die for you. See, we didn't care about him. So many of those people didn't care about Jesus. Only a handful, really. But he died for them anyway. And what did he say on the cross with those who were persecuting him? Crucifying him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. Now, friends, that's love. And we need to take that into our own hearts. When we see people acting like, well, I can't use non-ministerial terms, but, you know, playing idiots and so forth, and we just want to hit them upside the head, we might remember what he said on the cross. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. when people insult you and abuse you and do stuff to you, instead of retaliating, grab a hold of this and realize God does that with us all the time. He says, you don't really understand, but I love you. Jesus has got you. When we commit our lives to Christ, he forgives every sin, every shortfall, everything in our lives. He'll never let us go. And guess what? He loves us so much, not only will he never let us go, but he wants to keep us with him forever. That's what eternal life is all about. Jesus, look at yourself and say, look at people around you that believe in Christ. If all their little peculiarities and their little hang-ups and slip-ups and shortcomings, and Jesus wants them with him in eternity. Can you fathom that? Do you? Let me ask you this. Do you really want all your Christian brothers and sisters with you forever? I mean, there's some you go to church with and you're probably thinking, I don't think so. And Jesus is saying, I do. I've already thought it out. They're my kids, and I'm gonna take them and transform them, and I want them with me, just like he wants us. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves you so much that he considered your life more important than his. You think about that. I have to think about it a lot. But Tony, your life was more important than his. Now that's love. That's what it's all about. I just want to hit briefly on this one. God loves you and Jesus loves you. They really do. And there's people in your church that love you. They can't love you like Jesus does, but they're trying. They look forward to seeing you. They accept you as you are. We don't have the biggest church in the world by any means. And we don't have all the programs and the ministries and all the outreach because we just can't do them. But you know what we do have? And it's one of the most wonderful things. I've never had it in any church, and had some bigger churches, much bigger, that I've pastored. But I've never had a church where people accept you as you are. Nobody expects you to dress a certain way, talk a certain way. They just want you to be there. And they love you and they hug you. And they'll do all they can to meet your needs. There's something else that I see in the church we have, and I thank everyone for it. They want everybody, each other, to succeed. They cheer when somebody gets a raise or a better job, accomplishes something. You don't find that everywhere. Now, friends, that's love. That's love. And when people come in and they're sad and they're down, somebody sits down and talks with them and hears them out. We're not a church full of religious people. We're a church full of sinners saved by grace. And we're willing to share what we've been through to help somebody else. That's the love that we have. And that's the love in the church. And friend, don't you forget, God loves you truly. Jesus loves you truly. And your people in your church truly love you and accept you. Just like you are. Don't have to play any games. Just be real, because we're all real. We're trying so hard to be real. And now I'm going to ask you something. What about you? Where are you with all this? Where am I with all this? Jesus was asked a question. Hey, what's the most important commandment? You know what he said? He said, the most important commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord. He's the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord with all your heart and your soul, your mind, your strength. The second, like it, he said, is... The second is equally important. You love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment's greater than these. So what does that mean? How do I love God with all my heart, Jesus? How do I love him? With all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. What's the first step? I ask Jesus Christ into my heart, and I renew that commitment every day. That's what you do. You ask him into your heart, and you get it right. And you say, okay, I'm accepting you. And I confess and repent of my sins. And I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. But every day, you recommit yourself. You know, you say, Lord, you're my Savior. Now I want you to be my Lord today. Savior, being your Savior is for eternity. But Lordship, we have to renew that. Because we take over our lives so quickly from God. We jerk our lives out of Jesus' hands. And, you know, how do we love him back? Every day, Lord, this is your day, your will be done, not mine. Here's what I want. Here's what I think I need. Here's all the stuff in my life. But you lead me today in the way you want me to go. That's what it's about. That's how I love him. I trust him with my life, you see. I not only trust him with my soul, but I trust him with my life, and I trust him with the lives of those around me, the lives of my family, my children, husband, wife, everything. The job, friendships, finances, health. Jesus, I trust you with it all. That's how I love him back. And then I turn to other people, and I'm willing to put up with their stuff. That's how I love him back. That's how I love my neighbor. I realize that, hey, I'm trailing a whole big old thing full of baggage behind me, so I guess I can tolerate others who trail it themselves. Maybe together we'll help each other remove some of that stuff and unload the truck so we can have free and happy lives and hearts full of grace and happiness and joy, huh? Instead of burdens. Let God love you where you are. Love others where they are. I want to share something, and I just made a little note here, and because it hit me, and it's like, you know, we have to come to realize that love doesn't control. Love frees. I see people in relationships, and they're trying to control each other. They want each other to conform to their image. And I just want to just insert this. No, I'm here to conform to God's image, to who Jesus Christ modeled for me to be. We're not here to conform or make others conform. We're here to conform to Christ and Christ alone. And take on his character. If we do that, we shouldn't be having to worry about conforming to anybody else because we ought to be pretty good. I'm still working on that. And I've got a ways to go in my life. Like Paul said, I haven't gotten there yet. But one thing I do is forget what lies behind and press on to what's ahead, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let me share this with you. When you have the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, when you really open your heart and say, God, take this anger and this hurt, this bitterness and all this junk that I've been carrying in my life. Just get this out of me. I want my glass full of you, not full of stuff. As your heart begins to be filled with the love of Christ, you begin to see how unworthy that you really are of his love. And yet he loves you anyway. And then when you do that and you accept his love, and by the way, let God love you. So many people mouth the words, but they don't let God love them. You've got too many walls, and God wants to bring those walls down and enter your life and turn you into somebody that people are drawn to like a magnet. You see, we push people away when we're bossy and controlling and demanding, critical. But when we have the love of Jesus in our heart, we give him all our insecurities and all of our stuff. People are drawn to us. You don't have to go and make friends. Just be friendly. They'll come. They'll come. Because they want what you have. And they know that you accept them. And you forgive them. And you genuinely care about them. Because Jesus Christ genuinely cares about you. And you let him genuinely care about you and love you. Listen to me. When Jesus Christ becomes the love of your life, you'll find that it's all about love. That's what the whole God thing is about. God is love. Jesus is love. And God truly loves you. Jesus truly loves you. Your church loves you. So why don't you just let go and receive it and find out, hey, it's all about love. God's love. And everywhere we go, that's what we're to do, is to let people see his love flowing out of us with his spirit as rivers of living water. God bless you. I want to pray with you. Father, forgive us all of our sins. Heal us from all the things in our hearts and our souls and our spirits and our bodies that hurt today. Prosper us in health, prosper us in spirit, prosper us in finances. But Father, above all things, prosper us with filling our hearts with love, that everywhere we go, love takes precedence. Love is first. It conquers all. Conquer us with your love. Help us to receive it and pour it into us that it flows out of us. And God, use us to bring honor and glory to your name through the love of Jesus in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.